Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Tommy.
I'm Jeff. And there's no Justin.
No Justin.
Let's get started.
All right. So Justin's out today. Your chair is... Bro,
I'm not sure if it's my chair or my knees. Man, at this stage of life, it's pretty rough.
You're only supposed to be as old as you feel like you're old.
I don't know how to explain it.
Do you complain more lately?
I do.
Do you really?
I do.
I've noticed. Look, hey, if if I have some family members listening that may think that I'm talking about them, I am. the in-laws specifically, the older they get, the more complaining. Like, I thought you're supposed to get more laid back as you get older.
I mean, as long as I've known Jerome, that's all. We weren't supposed to say names. Just kidding, Jerome. Just kidding. Or am I?
You'll I don't know. But it seems like the older some people get, and I'm wondering if you're going to be that. I'm already there.
Like, I can't sit down.
That's
without
not something to be proud
sighing.
Of. And like, you just said that, really, that's not something to be proud of. And what I'm wondering though is this a precursor to, are you going to get worse over time to where it goes from, oh my goodness, whatever it is. Like, are you going to become that guy who is? Later in life is more complaining than not.
I don't know.
You're supposed to be more laid back. So I'm trying to.
I'm super laid back, but I hurt.
So I'm trying to help. So I'm trying to help you. Like, now realize that so that you won't be that guy. Like, I really want you to not be that guy because I want to hang out with you for a long time.
Well, my kids make fun of me because when I start walking upstairs to their room, they automatically know who it is. Like on step two, because my ankles are popping.
What is going on?
It's bad. That was basketball, man. Those are basketball injuries.
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
Like, I'm making a conscious effort to not, like, to be more laid back. Like, I'm getting older. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little bit older than you. But it's like, if people didn't see us and just heard us, they'd probably think you're older than me.
That's probably true, but it's probably because you don't have five children. Tommy.
Yeah.
Let's just call a spade here.
Speaking of children's. You have an adult child.
I do.
A man child.
He thinks he's an adult. I'm hoping.
You know he's not yet.
No. No, he's really, really, and I know Mason as well. He's really stepping into responsibility. Well,
Mason's not 18 yet.
Well, he's about to be.
Yeah, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's weird to have an adult child.
I remember, this is a vivid memory I have when he was a baby. We had just recently gotten home from the hospital. I never held a baby until I had my own. Mm-hmm. I didn't care about no babies.
I could totally see that.
And I remember holding him just out, kind of uncomfortably out in front of me. And he's looking at me. He looks like an Eskimo. You know, when the babies first come out, they just look weird. And he's got this, and he was C-section, so he didn't have like cone head. He just had a fat head. Like, he looked like an Eskimo. Like, his eyes were squinty, and he was crying. I was looking at him. I said, I remember this like it was yesterday. We're in our townhome that we lived in, and I was in his room. And I was looking at him, and I said, I got to take care of you for the next 18 years, and we're 2 weeks away from that.
And here's the reality, Tommy, that's just kind of sunk in. I found some people in church that have their adult children, and their adult children have their spouses, and they're all sitting on the same row together. And I was like, man, how did you get through the teenage years with your kids? And they're like, oh, teenage years were easy. It's the young adult age that's difficult.
I was like, tell me that.
Come on. He said, when they're under your roof, you have more control of what happens, what they can do and what they can't do. When they leave, you can give them advice, but they can take it or not. I was like,
I mean, because, you know, you were so perfect when you left, right?
Perfect.
And so was I.
Right.
Yeah. No.
No.
That's a lot of truth in that statement. We forget, though. Isn't it weird that we forget? Or at least maybe I won't put you in that bucket.
No, it's true.
But I forget how, like, I was.
Mm-hmm.
And then how, you know, like, he's not even half that, you know, bad or whatever you want to label it. But I am a little bit more involved in his life than my parents were. So I'm a little more in the details and trying to make sure that he stays on certain paths. But then I think but then later on I'll be thinking, oh man, wait, I did this and that. Oh my goodness.
Well, I joke because my oldest is like, he's got this girl that he loves and he wants to get married as soon as possible. And I'm like,
what?
You have $5.33 in your checking account. Like, how are you going to do this? But then when I think back, Tommy, I got married and I didn't even have a job. I was straight back from the mission field. A month later, got married and my wife went off to work. I was at home.
No. Oh.
I wonder, like, it made me stop for a minute because at the time I thought, well, you know, I'm going to get a job and it'll be fine and blah, blah, blah. But I wonder what her family thought. Oh, what does Jeff do? Oh, nothing.
So Mason has a girlfriend he really loves and we love her too. She's special. And we're thankful for her, but I remind him of that all the time. Like, she's super smart. She's already, she's graduating high school. Mm-hmm. He's graduating high school same time this year. And she's graduating with her associate's degree already.
Right.
Already got, you know, college lined up, and she only need to do 2 years to get her undergrad. She's going to law school. And I'm like, Mason,
ducks did you kill last week?
You don't want to be that guy. Be like... Well, it's so funny. He joked. He goes, well, my wife's going to make all the money. I'm just going to be a duck hunting guide. I'm like, yeah, right.
No, it doesn't work like that.
No, well, you know, speaking of your son and jobs, he has a job now.
Oh, my goodness. He is
so
living.
Now he can, like, literally, he could probably, he has more than $5.30 in his bank account.
Well, he hasn't got paid yet.
Oh, okay.
So he's still, today was his last day of training, but he's an official food runner at Chili's.
Oh, dude, you know what? I don't care. I might get some flack for this, but Chili's has the best chips and salsa.
That's pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, they're better than most of the local Mexican restaurants.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But I tell you, it was funny. We walked in, getting ready to get seated. And I mean, it's like in his mind, the best way I can describe it, it's like he's singing the theme song from Beauty and the Beast, where it's like, be a guest. Like, he's just like,
oh, keep going.
I mean, he's going, rocking and rolling. And I mean, at one point, I couldn't help but laugh out loud. But this table behind us asked for some A1 sauce. He bebopped back to the back and got A1 sauce, and he came over and he did a full 360 and delivered it on their table.
Oh, my.
This big smile. They loved it. They ate it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these older ladies called him over and gave him a tip. Like, they just thought he was fantastic. I mean, he's living his best life. He loves it.
Okay.
So.
Not my style, but okay.
I know, but he's a people's person. And he is.
Are you saying I'm not a people's
person? Here's the thing, though.
I'm a people's person.
But here's the thing.
What?
That he is way better at than both of us.
At what?
He is who he is all the time. Doesn't matter who he's around. He is 100% himself, unapologetically, painful or not. He is who he is. And I respect that about him a lot because I would battle that. I'm like, ooh, I'm not saying that or doing that.
Sometimes there's a time and place.
Agreed. That's what makes it painful.
And he'll learn.
He will.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Hope.
But no, he's an amazing son. I love him to death.
Could be a lot worse.
Well, a lot worse. There's nothing bad about it.
No, that's not.
That sounded terrible.
That did sound terrible.
Golly.
Hey, one time, I do have this story I'll tell you. I remember from my dad growing up, and I remember my brother, he wanted to get an earring in his ear.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, I had both my ears pierced one time.
Okay, me
for
too.
For about a week.
I did it myself. We used to pierce our ears ourselves just if we were going somewhere.
Right.
I'd pierce it myself and then take it out later.
Yeah.
But he wanted to get his ears pierced, so he asked my parents, and I thought, oh, this dude's fitting to get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
My dad said, if that's the only thing I got to worry about is my kid getting his ear pierced, I'm doing okay. Yeah, I don't care. Mm. I was like,
oh. Oh, my parents cared. I might as well slap them in the face.
Well, if those have listened to the podcast for a long time, know, a little bit about, our history and, my dad. So that was one thing that stood out, though, that I thought, oh, that's pretty, pretty cool.
That's different. Didn't expect him to respond that way. Yeah, my dad didn't talk to me the entire time. So I took him out.
Why? He didn't have a daughter?
He did not. But at that time in our culture, that was like super rebellious.
Well, when you have both of them, that's double rebellious.
I guess. I don't know. It was like pay $20 for one or $20 for two. And I was like,
buy one, get one.
BOGO, baby. Knock it out. So, yeah, no. But I do. I think about where Jace is at right now and just his mindset on college and life and what he wants to accomplish, and he is leaps and bounds ahead of where I was.
It's I love picking on, well, we love picking on people in general. Right. It's fun.
Especially our kids.
Right. So I didn't, obviously our kids are way better than where my kid is way better than where I was. Mm-hmm. And his way of thinking, and I actually shared that with Christine the other night. We were just talking. I said, Mason is different at his age than I was in a good way. I wasn't thinking about one girl or, I was thinking about just a different stuff. Like, I wanted to do my own thing and be free and have fun doing whatever. And I'm thankful that he doesn't think like that. Mm-hmm. He's not out trying to find impress other girls or get attention.
Yeah. Well, you think about where our kids are at right now, all the decisions they're having to make, right? These huge life decisions. And I think about walking through that when I did, and I just didn't have that type of relationship, especially with my dad, to talk to him about these things, like talk to him about relationships, talk to him about college. They didn't go to college, so they didn't even know. They were like, well, you're going and figure it out because we want you to have options. But, I had to navigate all that stuff really by myself and trying to figure out how to do all of that. And, I think the huge difference for my relationship with my kids is I wanted to have those conversations. And so talking about those things, man, I get it. This is where I was at.
Yes.
Just remembering, I think it's created a whole different atmosphere. And I think our kids are better off at this stage in life than we were because of it.
Because of that. Absolutely. And that's exactly the mindset I wanted to have going into parenthood was, hey, I want to do the things that I wish that, or I look back on and feel like I missed out on.
Yeah.
Because, there were other priorities that my parents, that my mom had, and just trying to make us, get us to survive. We're trying to survive. But, I think back to, and while I'm super thankful and grateful for where we are, there are some things that I could, if I had to go back, I would do things a little different, and specifically around, this age and technology that we have.
Yeah.
And just the power and the freedom that they have with a phone in their hand.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you think about, video games came into existence in our lifetime. Like Atari is where it started, and then it just kind of went from there.
Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo and all of those things. Now, the gaming is designed to never end. Yeah. There's never an end. You don't finish the game and you complete it. It just goes to a whole nother level and then another level, and you just keep going forever. So it can absolutely consume. So I think in the same way that our parents didn't know how to navigate growing technology in ours, like we're having to learn, but I think we're aware of it enough to know, like, hey, this is different than the games we played. Like, I would play a Nintendo game for 30 minutes or an hour, but I was out playing basketball, ride bikes, whatever.
I learned that lesson the hard way. I'm going to come back to the statement I just made about the phone and the technology and talk about this for a second. Because I had a great experience with gaming as a kid when Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt came out.
Right.
Like, we loved it. But to your point, there was an end to it. We play it, and then we went outside and played.
Right.
Fast forward, not having kids, not holding kids, not holding babies, not being around kids. Mm-hmm. I have a kid now.
Right.
Well, Xbox comes out. Call of Duty comes out. And I remember thinking.
That was fun.
I remember thinking he was 5 years old. I was like, yeah, man, you know, when I had this gaming, mm-hmm. it was fun. I'm going to get him that.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know, he got really good at it because he played it all the time.
Right.
You know, and I was like, man, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Sure.
You know, and it's kind of those things. But then we try to limit it. Well, he, you know, you kind of grow out. He thankfully kind of grew out of it, but he still plays a little bit. But I think in some aspects, I do believe that the Lord has protected our family in place of where I've failed mm-hmm. to recognize certain dangers and put precautions right. in place right. because I didn't, I didn't think about it, I didn't realize the impact. Mm-hmm. We didn't know how social media was going to explode at the time. And, you know, and so, you know, I want to kind of go back to the phones
yeah.
and the, and, you know, I think a lot of people who have kids, let's say there's a couple different groups of people mm-hmm. here. And I think, well, I know you and I are both we live in both sides of the groups. There are the groups that have older kids and they didn't really monitor or put any type of boundaries in place mm-hmm. and their kids are older now. And like, how do you start introducing that now? You realize the dangers of sure. certain things. How do you introduce it now? And they're 17, 16, right. whatever. And then you have the ones that are coming up or the younger kids. You know, how do you set that
yeah.
boundary there? And what rules are too strict
right.
to where, you know, as soon as they get any freedom, they're overdosing on whatever it is you're
sure.
not allowing them to do.
Right.
There's a balance there.
Yeah.
And you have to play this. I don't know. I don't want to say you get lucky, mm-hmm. but I think the Lord has everything to do with mm-hmm. protecting our family. Yeah. And almost like when we don't pray, he goes before us and he prays on our behalf because he
sure.
knows, like, you need to pray for this, so I'm going to do this, you know,
right.
intervene on your behalf. I think I know he does that with our parenting because mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, my kids are they're evidence of that.
Yeah, and I would say my wife is 1,000 times more aware of the dangers and the addictive habits of the kids than I am, mainly because she's around them more. We homeschool and that kind of thing. And so just seeing these tendencies and we saw things. And I think, Tommy, to answer your question, you know, we have had to pivot. We've had to have, all right, new family meeting. Let's sit down and talk about this. Here's a new rule this semester because these were the problems we had last semester. We're going to do things a little bit differently. And these are the reasons why. Right? Like, there's lying, right? We've caught you in a lie. You're playing video games instead of doing your work, and you're telling us you're doing your work. Like, that's a lie. You're looking at me as your parent, and you're lying to my face when I call you out on it. So you don't have a computer. You have to do your work downstairs at the kitchen table for a whole semester, you know, because you lied. And if we made a big deal, we learned that early on in parenting too. Like, what do you make big deals about? Lying.
Mm-hmm.
There's a break of trust. And if I can't trust you with whether or not you're playing a video game or not, then how am I going to trust you with a vehicle? How am I going to trust you mm-hmm. going off to college? How am I, all these different things. And so we really made a big deal about those. And, but you know, I would say whether it's technology or whether it's having, you know, healthy conversations with your kids and you haven't done that until now, just say, I'm sorry. Right? Like, I should have done this, and I wish if I could go back, I'd do it sooner, but let's have it now. Let's have that conversation. Well, let me tell you what I would have done and the reason why, and let me tell you what you're about to walk into and the temptation you're going to have.
And the danger that exists that you don't even comprehend
right.
exists. So just the other day, I had another conversation with my daughter, and, you know, she's had a phone. She's 14. She's had a phone for a couple of years. She doesn't have Facebook, but she doesn't want Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, MySpace. It's like
sure.
it's MySpace to
sure.
us now.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like Facebook is lame.
But she has social media.
But these other social media apps that are coming up
scary.
Now.
Scary.
the Snapchat. You know, Snapchat's been out for a while, but it can do so much. They're always changing it. Mm-hmm. And the way they're doing it is what they're emphasizing is privacy for the user.
Right.
So what that means is secrecy.
Right.
You're able to, and then the kids are able to use those, the privacy, meaning like as a parent or someone, I can't look in and see,
history.
You can't, it makes it very hard to monitor that.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, what I told her, we had this conversation the other day. I said, listen, I haven't put too many limits on your social media, being on your phone. I said, you're a very pretty girl. Like probably the prettiest in the school, if you ask me. There are people out there that want to do harm. They want to take from you. Mm-hmm. They have bad intentions.
Right.
And they'll trick you into things. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's not even that they trick you into sending anything inappropriate. They just need access to your information. Right. And then they can take your picture and make a picture that's not real and send that out.
Right.
This, all these artificial photos, the AI and all that stuff, is way scary because you can make someone's voice. You can make them look like they're saying what they're saying and they're not saying that. You can put their face on different photos and different images. Mm-hmm. And they look real. It's not like the doctored photos like me and with a ripped guy and my face doesn't match the body skin tone and stuff. Like it's fake.
Right.
These look real.
Right.
And so they're preying on you for that too. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be, a few years ago it may have been, hey, send, try to get to know someone and, catfish them or whatever it is, make them think that you're someone else, gain trust to get something. But now it doesn't even have to go to that.
Right.
As it is just gaining access to information or the pictures and the other things to use them for other purposes.
Yeah. There's just, I think for me, because my boys are the ones that my daughter doesn't have a phone yet. In our house, just our general rule was, because we homeschooled our kids, they didn't get a phone until they're 15 and they start driving. And so she doesn't have a phone. None of our kids have social media of any sort. I think they might have that. What'd you say? Be Real. Yeah. I think the youth, you kind of use that together. But that's the only thing that they have. And so looking at those types of things, but even in that, I feel like girls are a little more attracted to the social media posts and pictures and what they're doing and all the things, and guys are more addicted to gaming and so we noticed that with our boys, our older two were like, when they visited my parents, we were just kind of like, just spend time with your grandparents at some point, we would check their 10 hours a day. Like it was just bananas how much time they played at their grandparents' house. And so left to their own demise. Like we showed them that. Hey, listen, we let you stay with them. The rules of our house are gone, and grandparents let you do what you want to do because they're grandparents. And this is what you chose to do. And that's scary to me that you would choose to be on that much. And so we would do things like just a technology fast at our house, and it was like misery for 48 hours. Like kids mean and all the things, and I'm bored, there's nothing to do, blah, blah, blah. By day three, we're playing board games, we're laughing hysterically, we're playing pickleball or basketball or whatever. And by the end of the week, they're like, man, we don't want any technology. And they love it, and they love the experience, the social aspect of getting outside of the house. And it's just amazing that it's a subtle trap that happens. And so just allowing them to see what their tendencies are. Hey, listen, have you done all your responsibilities? No. Then why are you playing a video game? Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's how you show me that you're responsible, is that you can manage all this stuff. But we had to walk through that here recently with the oldest. He wanted to renegotiate rules when he became 18. And so we wanted to hear him out and give him those responsibilities and, hey, what do you think is a fair amount of time? And how are you going to do, how are you going to ensure that you get all your stuff done? So we kind of walked through all that, and I think it's, I think he's handled it pretty well. But we wanted him to kind of taste a little bit of freedom in that and see if he could manage it before he has complete freedom on his own. And so we kind of walked through those things, but, you know, we just had a cyber training for our church here last night, and you know, I had a good group turn out and just kind of walked through all those things. And a guy that kind of looks over all of the technology in the school systems came and spoke. And I don't know, for me, and I want to hear what you have to say, Tommy, but like the thing that kind of I wasn't even aware of is that kids can take an icon on their phone, say Snapchat, and they can change the name of it and the picture of it and make it look like it's photos.
Or a calculator.
Or a calculator.
Yeah,
and you click on it and Snapchat opens up. But if you look at their phone, they don't have it.
So if you're looking at the home screen, so
that was scary to me.
I did find out about that, but that was through my son, who kind of gives me, you know, heads up on those things. But that's part of what I was talking about when I was trying to describe the privacy that these app makers, they're saying. When I say privacy, it's for the user of that app to be able to conceal, to be able to, make it so that it's hard for someone else to, you know, to check in on it or see it or whatever. So they give them those abilities. And that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy. And, you know, it's funny too, because, and I want to give a shout out to our, probably our youngest listener, James Gillespie, shout out. He's my boy's best friend. And so he's always at our house. I call him James Gottney just because he's always at our house and hanging out. And so anyway, we love him, and he's a great friend of our boys. And but they come over and they want to play video games, you know, and we'll have to call up. All right, guys, that's enough. Y'all go outside, and they'll go outside and hang out.
Well, and as his parent, they appreciate that.
Sure.
And that's because what you're hitting on too is another thing that we have to, you know, that we have to be aware of, that we may put restrictions on our kids, but if they go to a friend's house who doesn't have those same restrictions, oh, well, let me see your phone. Let me do, you know.
Yeah.
So,
you can't protect them 100%.
Right.
Though you try, though you want to do it, and you've got to get, and I can kind of wear everything wrapped up. And so, from the session last night was that you've got to have this open dialogue with your kids. You've got to equip them by whatever means necessary for them to see the addictive qualities. And I'll give you one thing that we watched, and it was Social Dilemma on Netflix. Somebody recommended that to us, and I watched it, and I was floored, because all of these guys that created Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all these things, they created them with good intentions. They, you know, it could connect people from all over the world. You can share videos, you can share pictures, you can, you know, all these different things and keep memories. But then they didn't realize that all the ads and all the AI that would come into it, that would keep you looking at different reels and videos, and all of a sudden 3 hours have passed and you've ignored your kids and everything else. Like, and so it just talked about how these people that created these platforms to use don't even allow their own kids to use them. And that was mind blowing to me. And now how they're in legislation trying to shut the thing that they created down. Like it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's like scary.
It's like a drug, and I'm going to say something that is going to pierce. It's going to pierce deep.
Uh-oh, it is.
And it's going, and it's because I am guilty.
Mm.
And our kids are going to do what they see us do.
Mm-hmm.
So we were sitting in that that training. My wife had to come in a little late. We were talking, and we were like kind of astounded by some of the statistics that the guy talked about. But then she said, she kind of made a comment, well, you're always on your phone talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I had my phone up. We were looking through the settings anyway during the time. So I looked at my screen time for that day.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm only at, you know, I'm at 3 hours today. I mean, that's a lot, though, if you think about. And I said, well, let me see yours. And she's like, she quickly flipped it out. And she was thinking that she was going to be 4 hours. What? But then she's like, well, let's look at a different day. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Dude. Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at my phone right now. 7 hours I was on my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7 hours and 47 minutes.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Right. And that's probably average.
That's
sadly.
Well,
I'm talking just across the board. When you think about all the things that you can do on your phone,
that is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's crazy. That was,
my daily average is 2 hours and 58 minutes. Yeah. That's the average.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that hit me
mm-hmm.
like, how can I tell them,
mm-hmm.
do what I say, not what I do?
Right. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, get off your phone, get outside. Well, dadgum, yeah. son, why don't you get up and get outside and clean up the garage and yeah. go rearrange the attic and
yeah.
do all this other stuff that you need to do?
Yeah. I'll tell you this. We'll wrap it up this session with this because I think it was comical, but it was piercing at the same time. It was this kind of comedic little sketch, but it had these people in a waiting room to go see the doctor because they couldn't sleep. So the doctor comes out and he's like, listen, I'm going to tell you, it's a simple solution. 1 hour before you go to bed, turn off your phone. And they all looked at each other like, we can't do that. You know, like, doctor, please. Like, he's like, all right, fine. 20 minutes before you go to bed, no phone. And they're like, that's even worse. Like, we can't do that. And so it was this whole comical. And he's like, well, fine. I guess sleep isn't important to you. And the guy's like, sleep is the most important thing to me. I will take a pill. I will have surgery.
Oh, my gosh.
You know? And so it was satire to kind of prove a point that we would be willing to do anything else than turn off our phone. And that was convicting, you know? And, like, I had to... For me personally, delete the social media aspect. There's parts of social media that I have to have for my job.
Yeah.
That's how I communicate with people overseas, all the different things. So I have to have that, but I don't have to have it on my phone. And if it's on my computer, I'm less likely to be right. on it. So I deleted those things that are so easily accessible on my phone for that reason, because I would find myself just wasting time.
Yeah.
And so those were some things that's what I tell my kids. Listen, I get it. There are things like I want to do on my phone, just like you do. They're just different and what they're attractive for. And so I have to set boundaries for myself. I am 46 mm-hmm. years old and I have to set boundaries for myself.
Yeah.
I'm a grown man, right?
I wish you hadn't told everybody how old you were.
I'm 46 and Tommy is older than me. Golly.
Only about like 6 months.
I know, but still, that's a long 6 months.
I know. Oh, Pat's older than both of us.
That's true. That's true. But I think in all of it, guys, the thing is technology, and this is what the guy said, technology's changing at a crazy rapid rate that you can't fully stay on top of all of it. But what you can do is teach your kids to say, hey, listen, if you come across something or you have a friend that shares something, tell me. Let's talk about it. Because these are things like, because they're so ashamed if they've looked at things or whatever, that the last thing they want to do is tell their parent and get in trouble and get their phone taken away. Come talk to me. If you come talk to me, we can work through this.
And it's so important that in this area, you are their parent, not their friend.
Absolutely.
You have to take that role on because you will regret it.
Mm-hmm.
There is more danger than, I'm telling you, I'm speaking to the 30s and 40-somethings out there right now. There is way more danger out there than we even know about, and it's constantly being improved upon the ability for this to happen. And yeah. so you have to look, we could spend a whole nother episode. You know what? We will in the future. We're going to have our friend Chris on coming in pretty soon, who is a mental health expert and a psychologist. And we're going to ask him about that, too, about the psychology aspect of this thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, and what there are some real dangers out there that, especially in the mind of a young person who is still trying to figure out where they fit in society and culture. And
well, if it affects my mind and my ability to focus, what is it doing on these brains that aren't fully developed?
Right.
You know, so just looking at all those things. So think about it in this way. And this is kind of how we wrapped our session up last night. Is that I was doing marriage counseling for a young couple that I've known. And in the process, some stuff came out of like, hey, inappropriate material. All right, let's deal with that. It was a long distance deal. And so I had parents step in for me and teach the kids. And I was like, who's going to be with them longer, me or their parents? So the parents started teaching. And when they were reading the statistics that I was sending them and doing the study, they began to ask each other, hey, do you struggle with this? And stuff came out in that. Mm-hmm. So if it's affecting every generation, it's not just our kids. It's protecting our marriages. And if you have to keep everything private on your phone from your spouse, that's a red flag.
It sure is.
So do whatever you got to do to be transparent and honest and be held accountable. And if you're going to fight that, then there's something you need to check in your own heart. So
you'll find freedom once you're able to break free of that, though. There is freedom in that.
There is freedom and there is hope in that. And I know a lot of people have wrestled with it. The best thing you can do is confess it to somebody that you trust and get some help. So I hope that you're doing that. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Appreciate you.
Love you guys.
All right. Bye.